Right, today I'm speaking from the scripture from Deuteronomy, chapter 8 and verse 3. A person does not live on food alone. Let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you that you supply the word each week for Sean and myself. And I just pray, Abba Father, that the words I have today will be taken in love, and that they will receive them, be received with the knowing that they've come from you and what you have put on my heart. And I just ask, Abba Father, that you'll perfect everything I say in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. So if we can have the first slide, please. Second slide. Okay, so Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. Or Devarim. He humbled you, allowing you to become hungry, and then fed you with man, which neither you nor your ancestors had ever known, to make you understand that a person does not live on food alone, but on everything that comes from the mouth of Yehovah. So that's the essence of my message today. So while being tempted by the adversary or Hasatan in the wilderness, in Matthew chapter 4, Yeshua quoted this actual scripture when he said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of Man, the Son of Elohim, order these stones to become bread. And of course, Yeshua's reply was in Matthew 4, 4, the Tanakh said, man says not to live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of Yehovah. So Yeshua actually quoted that scripture. We have to understand that only the word of Yehovah can ever defeat the enemy. It cannot be our words, and we must not change the written word to suit our own interpretation or our own agenda, or even our own personal doctrines. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 6, it says, the weapons we use to wage war are not worldly. I haven't got it up yet. On the contrary, they have Elohim's power for demolishing strongholds. We demolish arguments and every arrogance that raises itself up against the knowledge of Elohim. We take every thought captive and make it obey the Messiah. And when you have become completely obedient, then we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. If we are not living by the word of Yehovah, then we can easily be defeated by Hasatan. So how do we protect ourselves from these attacks? And we all get attacks. I don't think there's anyone listening or anyone online that's never been attacked in some way. So to me, prayer is the key. Prayer gives us power, and without prayer, there is no power, simply because we are not in communion with Yehovah. And as I said last time I spoke, we need prayer to be connected to Yah so that he can protect us in times of our need. So if we can go to slide 5, please. In Malachi, slide 5. Malachi Aleph, that's it. If your people go In 1 Kings 8, 44-45, if your people go out to fight against their enemy, no matter by which way you send them, and they pray to Yehovah towards the city you choose, towards the house I built for your name, then in heaven hear their prayer and plea and uphold their cause. Yehovah tells them, if they pray, he will hear. He's not going to hear your needs if you're not going to pray. And Tehillim Psalms chapter 6 verses 9 and 10. Yehovah has heard my pleading. Yehovah will accept my prayer. All my enemies will be confounded, completely terrified. They will turn back and be suddenly put to shame. How are we using Yah's word effectively? Are we getting into prayer and asking him to intercede on our behalf? Because he can go ahead of us. He went ahead of the people during the biblical days. He went ahead of Yeshua every step of the way. He will go ahead of you. But you have to be in close connection to him. Hasatan can appear as Yehovah. And Shaul teaches us that he has the power to transform himself into an angel of light. So we never know. You know, we can think we're talking to Yah, but actually we're not. If we are really connected to him on a daily basis, we can discern what's from Yah and what isn't. The next slide, please, in 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15. It says, for the adversary himself masquerades as an angel of light. So it's no great thing if his workers masquerade as servants of righteousness. They will meet their end their deeds deserve. Hasatan, or the adversary, misuses scripture, just as he did with Yeshua. But how does he do this? He robs scripture from the heart of believers. He makes sinners blind to the truth. And he also binds believers with strongholds. Because we're a believer doesn't mean that Hasatan has no effect on us. There can be strongholds that have come from generational curses and generational sins that take hold of our lives that we have to deal with. And we have to make sure that we acknowledge those strongholds. Because if we are in denial about them, nothing's ever going to happen and we're going to continually be attacked. How do I know there are strongholds? Let's go to Luke 13 and 16 in the next slide. Because they can bind the children of Yah from doing Yeshua's work. So this woman is a daughter of Avraham, and the adversary kept her tied up for 18 years. Shouldn't she be freed from this bondage on Shabbat? Because people were objecting to Yeshua for healing on the Shabbat. There's no better day than to heal on Shabbat. That's why I say, if you've got a problem and you want prayer after the service, come and I will pray for you. Prayer is important. The fact that you are observing Shabbat is excellent. Amen. But the fact if you're holding back and not getting the prayer that you need, and not praying yourself or praying for others, you know, it just doesn't need me to pray for the sick. We're all capable. We're all ministers. Every single one of us. And so it just shouldn't be left to me all the time. Others can do it too. It's great to have prayer warriors. It's great to have intercessors. It's great to have people who want to pray daily, not just for themselves, but for others as well. The adversary's goal in Matthew chapter 4 was to try and get Yeshua to give in to hunger and thirst and misuse his power to create something to satisfy the flesh. Yeshua, of course, as you know, at this stage, had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. His second goal was to get Yeshua to tempt Yah to prove his word by telling him to cast himself down from the highest pinnacle, the highest point of the temple. So once again, Yeshua uses scripture to defeat HaSatan. In the next slide, please. He replied, Yeshua replies to him, but it also says, do not put Yehovah, your Elohim, to the test. And then the third thing that the adversary uses was worldly possessions to get Yeshua to bow down to him. To me, this has always been the most absolutely stupid offer that HaSatan could ever speak to Yeshua about. Honestly, it's just boggled my mind since I was a young child. How can HaSatan expect Yeshua to bow down and to something that he's offering that doesn't belong to HaSatan anyway? It's actually Yeshua's. And I think, how absurd. You know, how stupid does he think Yeshua is that he can offer him what he already owns? You know, it's like saying, hey, would you like a new car? Fine. Okay, well, here's one and I'll take you to your car and you can drive that one home. No different. Matthew Yahu chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. It says, once more the adversary took him to the summit of a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in all their glory, and said to him, all this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. Away with you, HaSatan, praise. Yeshua told him. For the Tanakh says, worship Yehovah, your Elohim, and serve only him. The scriptures show us examples of Yeshua that the power of prayer and the word of Yah is how HaSatan is defeated. And he quotes the Tanakh every single time. After Yeshua had visited a woman of Shomron, as she was drawing water from the well, his Talmudim had been out buying food and came to him trying to get Yeshua to eat. Once again, he replies to them in a way that they least expected. Now, how often do we see the Talmudim thinking about food, thinking about bread, thinking about eating, and Yeshua has to put them back on the right track? They're thinking about their stomachs more than they're thinking about anything else. Yeshua's not talking about that kind of food. Because once again, he replies to them in a way they least expected. As I said, the food the Talmudim had on their mind was for their stomach's sake. But Yeshua was speaking of a different kind of food. In Yochanan 4 or John 4, 31 and 32, it says, meanwhile, the Talmudim were urging Yeshua, Rabbi, eat something. But he answered, I have food to eat that you don't know about. The Talmudim were a lot like the people of today. They were just following Yeshua with absolutely no understanding of what he was really about. You know, these Talmudim, they lived with him. They walked with him. They talked with him like no other people, even like his own family. He spent more time with them, taught them more of the kingdom of Yah than he did with his own mother and brothers and sisters. But they still didn't know him. Can we go to the next slide, please, in Acts 12, verses 2 to 7. And we're talking about Herod. He had Yaakov, Yochanan's brother, put to death by the sword. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Yehudians, he went on to arrest Caiaphas as well. It was during the days of Matzah, so when Herod seized him, he threw him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers. How many is that? 16. Each with the intention of bringing him to public trial after Pesach. So he had 16 people guarding one man. Caiaphas was being held under watch in prison, but intense prayer was being made to Yah on his behalf by the messianic community of that time. The night before Herod was going to bring him to trial, Caiaphas was sleeping between two soldiers. He was bound with chains, and guards were at the door, keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly an angel of Yehovah stood there. A light shone on the cell. He tapped Caiaphas' side and woke him. "Hurry, get up," he said, and the chains fell off his hands. Here, Yah used prayer to bring deliverance to Caiaphas. Praise Yah for a praying community at the time. What would have happened without the prayer? Probably nothing. Herod would have had his way with Caiaphas, and Caiaphas would have been killed. Our goal should be to get the world out of us and Yeshua into us. Praying together gives us results, just as it did the Talmudim of the time. I have to admit, I've always been disappointed that people cannot make time out of their lives for prayer. We've tried to run prayer meetings every week at night, but not even the ministry team would turn up. And the same few people turned up each week. But we needed more than just three people or four people. And when the ministry team doesn't turn up, to me that was sad. And as for having prayer before the service, it seems to be the norm to arrive after the service has begun. We have one family that come every week. Another comes every second week to help Malachi and I set up this room for the meeting. Malachi and I truly appreciate them. Without them, I don't know where we would be. But for some reason, others are not prepared to commit to prayer or for helping. They just want to be fed and go, which I said is quite sad to me. Yeshua is present with us every day. The Ruach HaKodesh turns up for our services without fail, every single Shabbat. Our services do start at 10 o'clock, or as close to that as humanly possible. And that's like having an appointment with Yah. He turns up. It's up to us to turn up and be on time. It'd be nice if some people could arrive a bit earlier. We could go in the other room and we could pray for the service. We could pray for those coming. Some people travel a long way. It takes them 1.5 hours to get here. We should be praying for them on their journey to us to make sure that they are safe, to make sure that there's no hold-ups. We appreciate those people. But we don't get time to do that because we're so busy setting up with so few people that if there was other people here, they could be praying. I'm sure if you have business commitments or social meetings, you can show up on time. The least we can do on Shabbat is to arrive on time. And it's not for my walk, and it's not me you're hurting, but it's for your walk, and it's for what you need in your life. It's the word of Yehovah and his son Yeshua, who is the word, that has held the messianic community together for all these years. And it is prayer that has kept you and I not only saved, but safe all of these years. By increasing our knowledge of how Hasatan uses strategies and deceits to pull us down, we can defeat him and draw closer unto Yeshua in prayer. How do soldiers overcome the enemy in war? They are in constant contact with their superiors. That doesn't mean you've got to be in contact with me. I'm not your superior. Okay? Don't ever think that. Yah, and only Yah, is our superior. Amen. And his son Yeshua. We have to be in constant contact with him to overcome our enemy Hasatan. Anyone who is not for Yah is against him, and therefore is our enemy. We must be careful not to fall into the trap of the worldly by following their ways. In Messianic Jews Hebrews, next slide please, chapter 4 verse 12. It says, the word of Yehovah is alive. It is at work and is sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts right through to where the soul meets spirit, joint meets marrow, and it is quick to judge the inner reflections and attitudes of the heart. It is Yah's word that reveals men's hearts, and it is also Yah's words that expose Hasatan and his tactics. Demons, the demonic realm, distort prayer. Hasatan is only one demon, but there is a demonic realm in our world. People ask then, how is it possible for him to exercise such evil, destructive force upon prayer? Let me assure you that Hasatan has in his power a vast army of fallen angels, evil spirits, demons who are evil, powerful in many ways, unclean, fallen angels. How do I know? Well, the word tells me so. Let's go to Kephabet, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. For Elohim did not spare the angels who sinned. On the contrary, he put them in gloomy dungeons lower than Sheol to be held for judgment. Demonology is clearly set forth in Yehovah's word. They are intelligent beings who were recognized by Yeshua. And we know that by Mark 24:1-24-25a. When the demonic spirit speaks to Yeshua and says, "What do you want with us, Yeshua from Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of Yehovah." But Yeshua rebuked the unclean spirit. They possess people, according to Matityahu chapter 8 and verse 29. They scream, "What do you want with us, son of Yehovah? Have you come to torture us before the appointed time?" And they take over mankind in Acts chapter 19, verses 13 to 16. Then some Jewish exorcists who travelled from place to place tried to make use of the name of Adonai Yeshua in connection with people who had evil spirits. They would say, "I exorcise you by the Yeshua that Sheol is proclaiming." One time, seven sons of a Jewish Kohen Agadol, that is a high priest, named Sceva, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered them. It said, "Yeshua I know, Sheol I recognize, but you, who are you?" Then the man with the evil spirit fell upon them, overpowered them and gave them such a beating that they ran from the house naked and bleeding. These demonic beings know their destiny. We read in Matityahu 8:29 when it said, "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" They know their destiny. They know that they're going to be overruled forever at some stage. They create error through lies. So 1 Timothy 4:1, the next slide, it says, the Spirit expressly states that in the Akarit Hayamim, in the days to come, some people will apostatize from the faith by paying attention to deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. This is what's happening in our world today. People are taking on the demonic realm, the LGBTIQ movement, the gay pride parades in Jerusalem that went through on Thursday, and the complaints of the people wanting their modus operandum to be normal for everyone, and if we disagree, then we are the one that's at fault. We are told that we are wrong and we have to line up with their thinking. I'm never going to bow down or line up with their thinking. Amen. Never, ever. Even if it means it kills me. Because I can't. Queensland are trying to bring in, at the moment, abortion to birth. This is demonic. This is murder. From the eighth day of conception, blood is flowing through that fetus. It is alive, there is heart pumping. Abortion to birth is nothing but murder. And we should not. There's petitions going around at the moment that you can sign to see and if you can get that stopped. I've already signed it. But then if I disagree with abortion, then I'm the one that's at fault in the eyes of the world. Praise Yah, I'm not of this world. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. Because we have all these demonic forces around us all the time. And the only way we can keep on the straight and narrow is to keep up our prayer life. These evil spirits produce harm. Have we gone to slide 15? We've done slide 14, haven't we? Yep. Slide 15. Yeshua and his Talmudim arrived at the other side of the lake in the Gerasenes territory. As soon as he disembarked, a man with an unclean spirit came out of the burial caves to meet him. He lived in the burial caves and no one could keep him tied up or even with a chain. He had often been chained hand and foot, but he would snap the chains and break the irons off his feet, and no one was strong enough to control him. Night and day he wandered around the graves and through the hills, howling and gashing himself with stones. Demons are assigned to cause prayerlessness. They will put you in a position where you don't want to pray, that you don't believe your prayers are going to get answered anyway. But as we in Yaakov, James chapter 5 verse 16, it says, therefore openly acknowledge your sins to one another. Pray for each other. Each and every one of you, pray for each other. Parents pray for children. Children can pray for parents. Husbands pray for wives. Wives pray for husbands. Pray for your mothers. Pray for your aunts. I've had an aunt that's had a stroke and I visit her every Shabbat after the service. We pray for her. I'm believing for a recreative miracle of her brain. How are you praying? Are you using the words of Yah as an example? It's not. If not, then you will always be defeated. When you pray the scriptures, you are using the exact same method that Yeshua used as our example in Matthew chapter 4. He used that example to defeat Hasatan. If it was good enough for him, it's good enough for me. If you are not using the word of Yah, you stand a good chance of your prayers not being answered at all. Just listen now to the scripture how the archangel Michael defeated Hasatan in Yehuda, or verse 9. When Michael, one of the ruling angels, took issue with the adversary, arguing over the body of Moshe, he did not dare bring against him an insulting charge, but said, "May Yehovah rebuke you." The exact same words as Yeshua said, rebuking the enemy. Eliyahu predicts drought in Malachim Aleph, or 1 Kings 17 and verse 1, when Eliyahu from Tishbe, an inhabitant of Gilead, said to Ahav, "As the Yehovah, the Elohim of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there will be neither rain nor dew in the years ahead unless I say so." Eliyahu was a man of Yah. He had a very close connection through his prayer life with Yehovah. He spoke to him personally. Eliyahu could not predict drought unless he had that kind of communication and prayer life. We know from Scripture that whatever we ask, we should receive. Eliyahu knew that. He knew that if he asked the rain to stop, it would stop. There is power in the word of Yehovah. There has to be, as Yeshua is the word. And greater is he, as I said, that is within us, as is that is in the world. In the next slide, in Proverbs 18:21, it says, "The tongue has power over life and death. Those who indulge it must eat its fruit." Now, it depends on what we indulge in, what fruit we eat. Well, if we indulge in the good things, we'll eat sweet fruit. If we indulge in the wrong things, it'll be bitter fruit. Regardless of what we eat, it's what we indulge in is what we will get. Do we quote scripture or go by our feelings? We say we are sick. The word of Yah says in Yeshayahu 53 and verse 5, "But he was wounded, Yeshua was wounded because of our crimes, crushed because of our sins, and the disciplining that makes us whole fell on him, and by his bruises we are healed." Now, the same word, him, could be Yehovah, because Yehovah and Yeshua are one. So we don't need New Testament scriptures to know that we can be healed. Once again, another Tanakh scripture in Psalm Tehillim 107 verse 20. "He sent his word and healed them. He delivered them from destruction." Nothing is impossible with Yehovah. It is of utmost importance that we make Yah's word the final authority in our life. We must be convinced in our own heart, knowing clearly from scriptures, that healing is a purchased possession for us. We have to make up our mind that we do not settle for anything less than what he's promised for our life, especially through his word. I know that there was one time in my life when I was single many years ago that I didn't know what I wanted in a husband. I knew what I didn't want, but I couldn't say I know what I wanted. So I spent time with Yah, He gave me 30 points. Not three, 30. He wanted me to have the right person. And then he said to me, after he'd given me that, and I found all this through Scripture, all these points through Scripture, and he said to me very clearly, if you settle for 29, you're settling for second best. Yah doesn't want us to have second best. Malachi came into my life after that. He filled the 30 plus more. More than I didn't even think to that I wanted. That's why 28 years later we're still together. But Yah knows what he wants for us. But we've got to get into his word. We've got to trust him. I knew what I didn't want. I'd been living a life of hell being a married woman for 27 years before that. Yah had to show me what I needed. He can show you what you need and how to get out of your difficulties. The next slide, please, in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of Elohim, so that we might understand the things Yehovah has so freely given us. And in Romans 4 and verse 20, it says, he did not by lack of trust decide against Elohim's promises. On the contrary, by trust he was given power as he gave glory to Yehovah. There are many scriptures on healing, but what I'm trying to get us to believe is that Yah's word is powerful enough to allow us to defeat the enemy no matter what the angle it is coming from in our lives. Not just healing. It can't be finances. It could be generational curses. It could be deprivation of finances. It could be being robbed of our inheritance, both spiritual and earthly. We have to listen to Scripture. We have to look at the Word. We have to take it in. We have to acknowledge it. And then we have to change according to it, which is really important. I want you to listen to this scripture speaking of Abraham in Romans 4, 19 to 22. Abraham's trust did not waver when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered that Sarah's womb was dead. He did not by lack of trust decide against Jehovah's promises. On the contrary, by trust he was given the power as he gave glory to Jehovah. For he was fully convinced that what Jehovah had promised he could also accomplish. And this is why it was credited to his account as righteousness. Why did Abraham believe he would have a son in his old age? Because he was told it. In Bereshit, Genesis 17:16, Yehovah says to him, I will bless her, Sarah. Moreover, I will give you a son by her. Truly I will bless her. She will be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. It wasn't as if he wasn't told. But he had to wait 25, 30 years after that, before Yitzhak actually was born. That's a long time when you're in your 70s and you've got to wait till you're 99 before you have before the child comes. The word of Yah said so. That has to be enough. Our problem is we don't take Yah at his word. It is though we're still afraid to trust him. We have to learn to let go of our own fears and let Yah fix our problems. And we can't fix anybody else's problems. We can only fix our own. Abraham couldn't look at Sarah and say, "You're barren, so it can't happen, but I can't fix it." He said, "Yah said it, I believe it, it's going to happen." And that's what we have to believe. That's what we have to trust. It doesn't matter what our situation. No matter what it is, he can fix it. But he won't fix somebody else because you want him to. They have to want it. We have to spend time in his scriptures and we have to pray the scriptures. We have to speak the scriptures out loud and claim them for our situation. You know, we have to really, when you speak it out loud, it's out of the heart the mouth speaks. You can think it over in your mind as much as you like, and I can assure you that 99.9 times of the time it's not going to happen. You've got to really speak it out, because it's the speaking out that's proof that you are believing and trusting in that word. You're saying to Yah, "Yes, I believe that, I'm claiming that," and you speak it out loud, he hears it. If you are always sick or something is always going wrong or breaking down and things aren't going the way they should be, know that we have more available to us than Jiminy Cricket offers. When he says to look on the brighter side of life, we have Yah. We don't have to worry about the Jiminy Crickets of this world. We have the brighter side. We have Yeshua. But if we do not live on his word and pray through our situations, they cannot be turned around. So now I want to go to the remembrance service. Unless anyone's got any questions, but I don't know whether you would. I think I've hit you enough today. But really, I really try and get in the word, because I think prayer is, there's nothing better than prayer. Nothing. And I don't think we do it enough. I've always said if we tithed our time with Yah every day, we only need 1/10 of the day, 1/10 of 24 hours. Okay? Actually works out to 1 hour, 24 minutes and so many seconds. It really isn't a lot of your day. But if you can spend that time in his word and praying, it's going to change your life around. But it's up to you. You've got to do it. I can't do it for you. So let us now go to the remembrance service, because without Yeshua, we wouldn't have the strength of the Ruach HaKodesh to pray the things we need to pray.